You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Today's passage is in what's come to be called the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7. And from the very beginning, what we call the Beatitudes, Jesus basically declares that real happiness is the opposite of conventional wisdom. He radicalizes virtually every commandment in Hebrew Scripture. Don't murder? I say don't even be angry. Don't commit adultery? I say don't even have lust in your heart. Don't give false oaths? I say don't swear oaths at all. In just a few chapters, Matthew summarizes what I like to think of as Jesus' stump speech, where he lays out a picture of what living into the kingdom of God looks like. Then we get to today's passage, where Jesus says what I really wish he would have just kept to himself. Love your enemies. But that's not the worst of it. He goes on to say that the main assumption about life that you and I have been conditioned to believe is simply not true. So stop your whining and get with the program, he seems to be saying. See if you can hear the passage I'm talking about.
Our words of wisdom are from Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 through 46.
But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous.
For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
From the home office in Nazareth of Galilee, it's the top 10 sayings attributed to Jesus that we're not sure he really said. Number 10. Yo, Peter, I told you to put that fish down and follow me. Number 9. Send me a love gift of 20 shekels and God will double it. Number 8. Blessed are the cheesemakers. Number 7. Boat? I don't need no stinking boat. Number 6. Hey, pilot, when do I get my one phone call? Number 5. I've fallen and I can't get up. Number 4. Did we get a Christmas card from them last year? Number 3. You know, I have no idea what Mom ever did with that gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Number 2. Would you like fries with that? And, ladies and gentlemen, number 1 thing that we're not sure Jesus actually said, I said celebrate, not celibate. Yes, yes, thank you, thank you. You know, I get it. Sometimes it's difficult to make out what Jesus is supposed to have said, let alone what he might have actually meant. So today, we're starting a short series on some of the difficult sayings attributed to Jesus entitled, He Said What? But before we start, I wonder how you would respond if I were to ask you, what is the most significant thing Jesus ever said? For you, it might be a memorable parable, like the story of the prodigal son or the Good Samaritan. Maybe it's a couple of the Beatitudes that would come to mind. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Or, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Someone might mention the Lord's Prayer, you know, "Now I lay me down to sleep, a bag of peanuts at my feet." Or perhaps John 14 would make the cut for you. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Or maybe Jesus' comforting words from later in Matthew. "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." So, what'll it be? What do you think is the most important thing Jesus ever said? You may be surprised, and it may not be the most inspiring quote, but my vote for one of the most powerful things Jesus said is tucked away in our text today. It not only wouldn't make our top 10 list, it's probably pretty much unfamiliar to most people. Why is it important? For the same reason it doesn't get much airplay, especially with evangelicals and fundamentalists. And that's because it's downright subversive. It completely undermines the conventional wisdom most of us have grown up with. Jesus said, "God makes the sun to shine upon the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the righteous and unrighteous." Huh? What? Why is that any big deal? On the surface, this sentiment doesn't even seem provocative, let alone significant. Who can argue with the sun and the rain falling on everybody equally? Or even the fact that the divine might have a hand in it? But let me assure you, dig below the surface a bit, and we see that Jesus is saying something spiritually subversive. In his book, Reading the Bible Again for the First Time, Marcus Borg distinguishes between two strains of thought that permeate all of Scripture, what he calls conventional wisdom and subversive wisdom. Borg says that conventional wisdom is the heart of every culture. It's community wisdom, what everybody knows. It's collective wisdom about how life should be lived. And don't get me wrong, there's certainly value and truth in some conventional wisdom. Pride often does go before a fall. Diligence, industry, honesty, humility, generosity, and integrity are all virtues. Injustice, strife, deceit, and violence should all be resisted. Proper etiquette can make dining more pleasant. However, central to conventional wisdom is the notion of rewards for living righteously. You're familiar with its many guises. You reap what you sow. Work hard and you'll succeed. Do or believe X, Y, and Z and you'll go to heaven. People get what they deserve. People deserve what they get. What goes around comes around. Follow the Lord and you'll be happy. And its evil twin, lose 15 pounds and you'll be happy. The problem is, all of these are lies. All that conventional wisdom does is lead us into this manic kind of rewards for performance existence. And the problem is, there's a cruel upshot to conventional wisdom. If your life fails to work out the way you want, or the way people expect, it must be because you've done something wrong, and you're being punished. It should be no surprise that the oldest book of the Bible, the book of Job, wrestles with this very question. Born out of his own experience of wrestling with the cruel implications of suffering, Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote his brilliant commentary on the book of Job, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Kushner's son Aaron was born with progeria, a rare condition which causes rapid aging. The doctors made the diagnosis when Aaron was 3 years old. They explained to the Kushners that Aaron would never grow much beyond 3 feet in height, would have no hair on his head or body, would look like a little old man while he was still a child, and would die in his early teens. At the age of 14, Aaron did indeed die of old age. Aaron's short life inspired his rabbi father to share his own faith struggles and steps for coping. And while many people still refer to his book as Why Bad Things Happen to Good People, Rabbi Kushner was always quick to remind people that that simply doesn't make any sense. He didn't know why things happen any more than anyone else. But one thing he knew for sure is that the ancient biblical notion that somehow our sins, or worse, the sins of our parents, are the root of our problems, is not why bad things happen. Yet how often do we think, oh God, what have I done to deserve this? Or see someone else and say, oh, what terrible sin must they have committed for that to have happened? Kushner refutes the idea that human suffering has anything to do with God's punishment. The reason why bad things happen to people at all is because that's a part of life.
Well, isn't that defeatist, darkly existentialist?
No, it's acknowledging the reality that life is what it is. There's a time for everything under heaven. Gives a rhythm to being human. And Kushner isn't the only rabbi to have challenged the notion that suffering is somehow God's punishment for wrongdoing. Jesus refuted that same idea over and over again. In fact, one day Jesus was walking with his disciples along the road between the temple and the Pool of Siloam in Jerusalem, when they noticed a man who had been blind all of his life. The disciples, being a bunch of lunkheads, asked Jesus, "Whose fault is it that this man was born blind, his or his parents?" Jesus rolls his eyes and answers, "It was no one's fault. His blindness has nothing to do with his sins or his parents' sins." It's no one's fault. It's just the way life is. The disciples, who, as we know, never quite get it, were struggling with the same misconception Rabbi Kushner's book tries to correct. It's not why do bad things happen. There's no answer to that. You can spend the rest of your life wrestling with why and never have a satisfactory answer. It's when bad things happen. What are you going to do with the circumstances you are dealt? That's an extremely important corrective to conventional wisdom that we, like the disciples, need to hear. Conventional wisdom says, you get what you deserve, and you deserve what you get. God help us if that's true. And that's where our passage comes in today. In verse 45, Jesus demolishes conventional wisdom and says, God makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Do you get how radical that is? It strikes at the root assumption that the righteous will be rewarded and sinners will be punished, by saying that the abundance of life's gifts are universal and not a reward or punishment. It's just one more example of Jesus taking a swipe at what we've talked about before, the Deuteronomic Code, that notion of you get what you deserve and you deserve what you get. Some people's whole religion is based on this lie. Are you a good person? You deserve to go to heaven. Bad person? You deserve to go to hell. But then it gets expressed in the conventional wisdom of the community. Are you poor? Then you must deserve it. God is punishing you. Are you rich? Then God must be rewarding you. After all, you get what you deserve, and you deserve what you get. I know that's a lie, and you know that's a lie. There are lots of good poor people and lots of bad rich people. Remember, Jesus got in trouble for hanging out with the people who the righteous thought God was punishing. Jesus reminds us, look, we're all in this together. Everybody gets sunshine and rain in equal measure. Life is too short not to make every effort to love your enemies and those who persecute you, even those traitors, the tax collectors. To bring home his point, Jesus says, for if you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? The implication being, God's love isn't reserved for those who love God, who lead godly lives, who are righteous in word and deed. For God makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. If God treats everyone the same, regardless of what they deserve, who are you to treat others differently? Who are you to judge? Who are you to hold back? How are we called to treat one another? With dignity, compassion, and respect. To love our neighbor and enemies as ourselves. And let me assure you, that idea is still radical enough to send people into a tizzy. In the words of that great theologian, Katharine Hepburn, love has nothing to do with what you are expecting to get, only with what you are expecting to give, which is everything. Some of you know that one of my favorite songs that we sing is Jaime Cortez's Rain Down. In fact, we'll be singing it as our closer today. But like many things in my life, it's not without controversy. When I first heard it, the lyrics stopped me in my tracks, but not for a good reason. The words contradicted Jesus in our passage today. God's mercy falls on the just and the right, is how it's written. What? That can't be right. Well, since Jaime lives here in Phoenix and we've played together, I gave him a call and asked, what gives? He said, wait, what? As it turns out, Jaime had not drawn the words from Matthew, but from Psalm 33, which do indeed extol God's care for and love of upright people. In other words, Deuteronomic code propaganda. I reminded Jaime of how Jesus preached just the opposite, and he was like, dude, I told him I was going to change the words from the just and the right to what Jesus says. God's mercy falls on the just and unjust. And of course he said, go for it. All the while thinking, dang, how many hymnals is that Deuteronomic code propaganda in all over the world? So, Jesus said, what? God makes the sun to shine upon the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the just and unjust. Who knew that something that seems so obvious and inconsequential could be so radical an idea? But radical it is. especially when you know Jesus is intentionally undermining everything the religious authorities of his day and of ours thought they knew about how the universe works. So, next time you hear someone extolling the importance of upholding a biblical worldview, be sure to ask them, which one? The discredited and toxic conventions of the Deuteronomic Code, or Jesus' radically inclusive and compassionate call to unconditional love? Jesus suggests the love route. Just saying. Be well.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.